Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. We are live. It's 4 p.m. here in the UK. You are probably watching this on a replay, either on the podcast or on YouTube. But if you ever want to join me live for one of these conversations about yoga, about scoliosis, then feel free to join me on YouTube every Wednesday at 4 p.m. UK time. And it's always a little bit more fun for everyone if I can make the content obviously really, really relevant to you. Maybe you have scoliosis yourself. Maybe you know somebody that has scoliosis. Maybe you are a yoga teacher and want to help those with scoliosis. So whatever it is that you're looking for, if it's got something to do with scoliosis, you are in the right place. So my name is Christine Jaregi-Berry, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm a yoga teacher and I specialize in yoga for scoliosis. I'm kind of a generally very curious person, so I like to ask a lot of questions when I have guests here on the show. And last week we had the amazing Meredith Stevens here, who is an expert on all things anatomy trains, so anatomy in general. She's a Schwarz Barcelona therapist as well. And she was talking about fascia and tensegrity. So do make sure that you check that out if you've missed that. It's really, really well worth listening to or watching, as she was showing a few slides as well. But today I will be talking about yoga inversions, and I will be going through what my definition is of yoga inversions, what maybe some of the benefits are of yoga inversions, what are maybe some of the things that we need to be a little bit careful of in general with yoga inversions, but in particular with scoliosis. So if you are joining me here live, make sure to say hello, come and say hello, tell us where you're from, tell us if you are currently practicing yoga, if you practice any inversions, and if you have any specific questions, because again, then I can make this really, really relevant. So I can see there's a few of you joining here right now. So come and say hello in the chat, and we will get started in a moment. Before I'm going into the content, I just want to say thank you to those of you who have subscribed on the podcast apps. This is a new thing. So I started this show as purely a YouTube live stream, but we've now put it on Spotify and iTunes, Apple Podcasts as well. So thank you if you subscribe there. Please do leave me a review on there. That would be really, really helpful, and it really, really helps for other people to see this content as well. So that's one of the things. The other thing I wanted to mention, yoga teachers workshop. So if you are a yoga teacher and you do work with people that have scoliosis, maybe you've got a student that just came in and told you that they have scoliosis. Maybe it's a student who has had spinal fusion surgery and you're not quite sure what to do, then do come and join me for this 3-hour workshop. It's happening on the 20th of March. And it's an online workshop. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, as long as you've got an internet connection. Good, lovely. So we've got Sed Stewart here saying, new subscriber to your channel. Oh, Cedric, yes, that's it. There we are, new subscriber. Lovely. And from the US, lovely. And we've got Jody as well saying hello from Madison, Wisconsin. So I love that we have this very international community here. And I love that so many of you are turning up every week to chat with me live and again, if you ask me questions, I can make this a lot more relevant to you. Otherwise, it's just me basically rambling on about different things about yoga and scoliosis. So those of you who are here, do you practice yoga inversions? Do you practice yoga in general? Do you have any questions about them? Are there any things that might not be working so well? So give me a little bit of an idea of why this topic interested you. And I'm guessing you are interested in it, because otherwise you wouldn't be here, right? You would have kind of turned off already. So let's get into this a little bit more. So what do we think an inversion is? So I've kind of put a picture here in the back, and I don't know, this is quite a bad drawing. That this is my usual yoga, my usual scoliosis person. So when I help people with their individual curvatures, I usually make a drawing. Here you can see a right thoracic, left lumbar S-curve scoliosis here. So because I want people really to understand exactly what is going on with their spines when I work with them one-on-one. So I've turned this person upside down, as you can see, to demonstrate a little bit what is happening. Good. Aygül is asking me if I speak Turkish. No, I'm afraid I do not speak Turkish. I am German, so I speak German. My husband is French, so my French is quite good, but I don't speak Turkish, I'm afraid. Good. So, said is saying 14 year practice, lovely, S-curve, right thoracic, scoliosis. Good. And Jody is asking, what are inversions? Thank you, Jody. So that's what we're talking about. So inversions, there are different definitions about this in yoga. And so Jody's saying, oh my gosh, she can't imagine doing this at this point. It's never too late. But I also wanted to say, so this inversion that I have here kind of put up in the back, literally, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I've literally turned someone upside down, right? They're standing on their head. There are other inversions that might be a little bit more accessible. So don't worry, you do not have to do a headstand to benefit from inversions. In general, so one of my teachers, Judith Hansen-Lasseter, fantastic yoga teacher, she would define as an inversion as a pose, a yoga pose, where your heart is higher than your head. So let's say this again, the heart is higher than the head in the pose. So let's think of some poses where this could be the case. Obviously, you've got things like headstand, you've got handstand, you've got a shoulder stand, for example, as well. Halasana is another pose. So it's from a shoulder stand, you would bring your legs up over the head. Yes, Jody, thank you very much. So Jody is saying downward dog is also one of them. So downward dog would fall into the inversion category because the heart is higher than the head. Uttanasana, or like a forward bend, a standing forward bend, would also fall into this category. So there are a few poses that maybe initially we don't think of them as inversions that also come under this category. And there are different reasons and different benefits about these poses that maybe are not completely, that's maybe not the first thing that you think about. So it depends on why you came to yoga in the first place. But for me, it was kind of the physical practice. I don't know about you, but it was about strengthening. It was about, being fitter, having more kind of support, more muscles and all of that. It's only kind of further down the line that I recognized the more subtle nuances of the practice. So they're a little bit more subtle effects, actually not so subtle, because from an energy point of view, energetically, the more you practice, the more you know what sort of effect these poses might have on your body. Meaning, for example, some of these inversions are really energizing. So tell me if you can relate to this, but there are some of those poses where you feel, for example, a handstand, and I don't practice them very often. And if I do, I would practice it against the wall. So I'm not confident to be in the middle of the room, but still I can do it against the wall. It's a very energetic pose, right? It feels like I've just had a couple of espressos after the pose. So it feels really, really invigorating. It feels really empowering. So there are other kind of things other than the, oh, we're strengthening our arms, we're strengthening our shoulders, we're strengthening our upper body, which is also happening in the pose, of course. Other poses, like for example, shoulder stand. So tell me if you are a fan of shoulder stand or not. You could type it into the chat. I'm not, and I can tell you in a moment why I'm not. But this, what I do notice, what I do feel if I practice it, it has a really calming effect. So I can feel my breath starting to slow down. I can feel the heart rate starting to slow down. So from an energy point of view, this is a really, really calming posture. So again, different poses have different effects on the body. But what I like about inversions is that we're kind of reversing all the effects that gravity is, not all the effects, but a lot of the effects that gravity has on the body, which for scoliosis, this can be quite useful, right? Because we are always upright. Our bodies are having to work quite a lot to keep us in the stable position and helping us not to collapse into our curvature. So there is a lot going on in terms of resisting gravity all day. So turning this kind of upside down, in my opinion, can be quite a good idea. And I'm not saying everyone should be practicing inversions, but it's maybe something to consider if this feels right in your body. And as we've always already established, there are quite a few different inversions to choose from. So maybe you start with a downward dog, and that might already be quite a good starting point. Good, so let me just have a quick look here at the chat, having a little pause. Good, so, right. Hello, I'm Golu, my curve is a C, convex to the right. Can my rib hump will be reduced or not? Please tell me. Now, I don't know, because I don't know you personally, if your rib hump will be able to be reduced with your yoga practice. The rib hump comes from a rotation in the rib cage. It depends on how long it's been there already, what kind of the causes of your specific scoliosis were. In terms of how you respond to practice, of course, I have seen changes. So I have definitely seen people that have managed to reduce the appearance of a rib pump. Absolutely, that have managed to find a little bit more balance. And you will have a look at my Instagram account. So you will see some before and after pictures as well. So do check that out. It's yogaberry.scoliosis. Let me see if I can find it here somewhere. There we are. This is my Instagram account. So yogaberry.scoliosis. If you want to have a little look on there. And what I posted today, actually, was a picture of, so nothing to do with rib pump, I'm afraid. But I did, it just reminded me that I did post a picture of a headstand, of somebody in a headstand, and have a look at what happened. So you can see the kind of before we started making some adjustments, and you can see some of the potential problems maybe. And then you can see what she had to do to be able to balance a little bit more. Good. All right, Jody is asking about inversion table. What about an inversion table? Now, I have not personally used one. However, I have experienced something similar in an Iyengar style yoga class slightly different, I guess, because in Iyengar yoga, they use ropes and different things to completely turn you upside down. I think with an inversion table, you can moderate this a little bit more. And Jodi, let me know if I'm correct here. So I think you do not have to go completely upside down, but you can moderate it a little bit. So in terms of using this type of passive traction, I do have a few thoughts on this. So first of all, I would say in general, traction for scoliosis can be really beneficial because we are creating space. So again, we're thinking about being upside down, and then there's a little bit of kind of pull in opposite directions to create space in between the vertebrae, which takes out a little bit of that side bend, and it takes out with that also a little bit of that rotation. Now, to be approached with caution. So these kind of passive hanging poses, and again, I have not tried an inversion table, so I have only done the complete hanging on the ropes upside down. This could be a good idea if you have quite stiff joints, and if you are quite strong generally, and if you have quite a lot of muscles to support you in this position. If you are quite weak generally, and if you are really hypermobile, if you have a lot of mobility everywhere in your joints, this might not be such a good day. This might not be such a good idea. So just kind of hanging into your joints, if you do not have that stability, can cause issues. So this is just my little, that's what I think about this. So Jodi, let me know if that helps at all. Good, Cedric is saying, not really a fan, but understand the benefits. Again, it depends on what inversion we're talking about. Jodi is saying like an L. I'm assuming you mean this inversion table. So not completely upside down, maybe. Good. Prop moderation. What is called traction? I felt trapped. Okay, being trapped is not a nice sensation, right? So at the end of the day, you have to decide if something feels good or not. So I wouldn't do it just because somebody said, oh, this is good for scoliosis. That doesn't mean that you have to do it, and that doesn't mean that it's good for you, right? There are many, many different types of scoliosis. There are many different types of bodies that have a scoliotic spine. That doesn't mean that they all need the same thing. All I'm saying is that a little bit of traction can be useful, but you do not have to do a full-on inversion, being upside down, to be able to achieve this. And actually, Meredith Stevens was talking about this a little bit more last week as well, and she uses traction, but in quite a different way. So, and traction, and just to clarify, traction, I mean kind of pulling things in opposite directions, so pulling apart, but in a passive way. And that's what these inversion tables do, and that's what the ropes do as well in Iyengar yoga. And Meredith was talking about things like a downward dog, for example, which you could do, but just kind of supporting the front of the hips with a belt, and then hooking the belt somewhere on a chin-up bar or something like that, on a ladder or whatever, something fixed, obviously, that doesn't move, and achieving this little bit of traction. If you are a yoga teacher, and I've certainly done this before in a yoga class, you could help your student with bringing the belt around the front of the hips, standing behind them in the downward dog, and then giving them a little bit of a pull if they are happy with this, not completely, but just a little bit of traction. So a little bit of lengthening through the spine. So I hope that this makes sense. So Leslie is asking about my thoughts on handstands, and I'm Glad that you have asked. Good. Are they helpful or are they damaging? Mild scoliosis, handstands and tucks. So you mean the kind of the jumping up into handstands? So you might just want to clarify this, what exactly it is that you're asking for. So let's back up a little bit. Before we talk about handstands, I would like to talk about headstands, just because I've drawn it here. So this is my scoliosis person being upside down. And if you've missed this in the beginning, I've given him a right thoracic curvature with a left compensation here. So right thoracic, left lumbar curve. And I've put him upside down here. So what we now see is that the biggest part of the curvature is now that he's upside down, is closer to the floor, right? So this is now your base for your headstand. Now, something else to keep in mind, that whenever you have a thoracic scoliosis, there will be some compensation going on in the neck, meaning there is probably going to be a very, maybe a small, maybe a bigger compensating curve in your neck, probably also with rotation. So if you now turn this upside down and you put your weight, and obviously if you do a headstand well, you will have a lot of weight on your forearms, actually. There shouldn't be a lot of weight on your head. But nevertheless, what is now closest to the floor will be that support, the base of the whole structure. If that is out of balance, if there's a lot of asymmetry going on there, this is going to be really hard work for your muscles. And the cervical spine, so the neck vertebrae, very mobile and quite vulnerable as well. So meaning that you have to be really, really careful and you have to be really, really mindful. Now, I'm not saying that it cannot be done. And again, go and check out my Instagram account, yogaberry.scoliosis, because I posted a picture today of somebody with scoliosis with a 45 degree cop angle thoracic scoliosis in a headstand. And you will see in the beginning that didn't look great, right? And you could see the potential problems in this. Now, she is a professional dancer and she is a fitness professional, right? So this is a very strong body, a very strong lady, and she worked on it, and you would see the after picture where she looks a lot more balanced. Now, this is taking her a lot of effort and a lot of training though. So what I would like to say is do approach it with caution if you're doing things like headstands. Handstands, on the other hand, now you have your weight on your hands and on your shoulders completely. So there isn't anything going on in the neck. Now for the neck, I quite like this because you actually now get some traction when you're upside down and you're lengthening there. But again, you have to be able to support yourself here. So with a strong, so for me, for example, I have a main left lumbar curvature and only a very mild thoracic curve. For me, this is quite nice, right? Because now when I'm upside down, the straightest part of my spine is lower down towards the floor, and the kind of wonky bit is higher up. So for me, a handstand actually feels quite nice and it feels really balanced. However, if you have quite a big thoracic curvature and you've got one shoulder rolling forwards, you've got a rib hump, then a handstand can be really, really tricky and can be really difficult to maintain. So long-winded reply to Leslie's questions about handstands. It depends, right? It depends on your specific scoliosis, and maybe you can let us know what your scoliosis curvature is, and then I can see if I have any more comments on this. let me just find her comment. So handstands like against the wall, but not headstands. Yes, and that's what I do, right? I would do a handstand against the wall. Also because then you can spend a little bit more time there and maybe do some of these little adjustments. And in my Yoga for Scoliosis work, when I work with people one-to-one or in my online courses, what I teach them is to make small adjustments specific to their curvature, not my curvature, not scoliosis in general, but adjustments specific to what is going on in their bodies. So if you can make those upside down, fantastic, right? I mean, you can only imagine what this does for the brain as well. This is all this kind of new learning and new connection. So I'm sure this can be really, really useful, but very difficult. And jumping, so Leslie is saying, not jumping into tuck, I can't do that. I can't do that either. And I have no ambition to learn it, to be honest. And some people do, right? So Mary Powell is a fantastic yoga teacher who teaches Ashtanga yoga. So you should check her out as well. She has got quite a severe scoliosis and she does the most amazing things with, you know, handstands and handstand tucks and quite advanced poses. But this is not my forte. So let's say that. Good. Elena is saying, hello, Christine. Nice to see you again. My left leg is 1 centimeter shorter and I have scoliosis, just like the one in the picture. So you mean my quite bad drawing here. So like a right thoracic left lumbar upside down person. Could yoga help me to improve my x-ray or to make any improvements? And she's then adding that she is 29 years old. Good. So thank you so much for this question. And generally, I mean, the younger you are, the better, really. Well, not the better, but the more chances you have of making a change. And this is not to say that when you are older that you cannot make a change. You can still make a change. And I've seen people starting yoga at 60, 70 years old and still creating big changes. But at 29, you are in a much better position because hopefully everything is working well in your body. So it's just about finding those adjustments for you. So again, it depends on, Elena, what your curvature is. So how large the curvature is. Again, you told me it's right thoracic, left lumbar, but it really depends on, yeah, how big the curve is, what else is going on in your body, how is your posture in general. So when I work with people in person or via Zoom, I would look at their posture facing away from me from the side as well. So I'm also interested in the natural curves of the spine. So what is your general pattern? And then we can see how we can maybe optimize this posture and how we can start to work possibly a little bit more asymmetrically. So the problem with yoga and general yoga classes is that everything is done the same on one side to the other. Now, in my work with scoliosis, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. So you might approach one side slightly different to the other. And in terms of if it can improve your x-ray, I have seen improvements, but this is not my first goal. And what I wish for you is that you move well, that you feel well in your body now that you're 29, when you're 39, when you're 49, when you're 59, and so on. So when you're 99 as well. So having this kind of long-term perspective of making sure that everything works well, is balanced. And yes, I understand sometimes appearance plays a factor and we don't like our posture, we don't like the way we look. And this is probably something that we can work on the most. So a lot of the work with yoga, it's not just the physical, and this will help your posture and it will help you to achieve more balance. Again, have a look at my Instagram with some before and after pictures, but really it's a mindset thing as well, right? So I would like you to feel happy and comfortable in your body, and improving your x-ray might not be that goal when you go a little bit further into this work. So this is just something to keep in mind, but I hope that this is helpful at all. Okay, so instead of saying, since downward facing dog counts as an inversion position, should us with scoliosis hold it longer than someone without it? Great question. No, I don't think so. So I don't think more is better, and I don't think more of a pose is better or longer is better. It depends on how long can you sustain it comfortably, because there will be a point where too much is too much, right? So it kind of goes like you get the benefits, but then you come to a point where everything might start to tense up in the pose because it's just been too much. And then you don't get the benefits anymore, and you kind of get the contraindications of it. And that might be problems with the shoulders. So no, I don't think that necessarily more is better. And I think it really depends on how it feels for you. And a good indicator of this is your breath, first of all. So are you able to breathe comfortably in the pose, or are you holding your breath? If you're holding your breath, come out. This is not the right pose maybe for you, or maybe it's been too long. The other thing is, do muscles that are not actually required to help you in this shape, are they starting to tense up? So a lot of this could be, for me, is always in the neck. I know for myself, if my neck starts to tense up, that's it. I come out of the pose. It's not good for me anymore. Having said that, you will be able to sustain poses a little bit longer the more you practice, of course. So, and downward dog is a fabulous pose to increase upper body strength, which is really, really important for scoliosis. Again, it's an inversion, obviously. So you get some of those, as I said, the turning your world upside down, kind of reversing the effects that gravity has on the body. You get a nice leg stretch as well in the pose. So there are many benefits, but it doesn't mean longer is better. Good. Hi, it came here from your podcast. Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. The podcast has only been on there for a couple of weeks or so. So I am delighted that you found it. And you've got a left thoracic, right lumbar. Just want to say, when you show a picture, explain what you are showing. I can't see what you show when I'm listening on the podcast. Yes, good point. Absolutely. And last week's episode, especially, there were a lot of slides. So this is quite a new thing for me, having this as an audio version only. So I'm quite used to being able to show and tell, basically. So yeah, thank you for pointing this out. It's a learning curve, let's say that. Question, how do you know if I'm doing a pose for too long? If I start to tense up, can I come back to the pose after a couple of minutes or hours? Yes, so as I said, your breath is gonna tell you if you're in it too long. If you start to hold your breath, or if your breathing changes at all, that might be an indication. If you tense up, come out, relax for a moment, maybe child's pose, maybe something else, and then maybe coming back into it again. Good. Elena is saying, so left lumbar convex is 36 degrees and the right concave 28, or convex. So I think you were saying a right thoracic left lumbar curvature. Both are rotated. Always rotated. So a spine is, if it's bending to the side in a structural scoliosis, it always has a rotation. Some of them more than others, but they always have a rotation. But it sounds like, Elena, your lumbar curvature is slightly bigger than your thoracic curvature, and this is still classified as kind of a moderate scoliosis, and the curves sound quite balanced. So I think for you, it's a matter of maybe, and again, I don't know you, I haven't seen you. Maybe there are some things we could do to kind of improve your overall posture and getting you to find the center a little bit more. So the parts that are convex, maybe we're looking to kind of contract a little bit more and bring towards the center, and then taking this into different movements and helping you there with the different movement patterns. Good. So let's see, I'm just looking at my list of what I wanted to say about inversions, obviously. So we've talked about what is an inversion. We've talked about some of the benefits. And again, for an energetic point of view, there could be benefits. Also, I find inversions quite empowering. And sometimes people ask me, can I do this? Can I do that with scoliosis? And if you ask, I don't know, if you ask a spinal surgeon, they might say, no, don't do anything. But that's not true, because they usually say you can do whatever. You can do anything. They don't give you any specific advice. But generally, we always think about all the things that we shouldn't do or we can't do. But obviously, there are a lot of things that we can do. And there are a lot of high-level athletes that have scoliosis, right? And if I tell them, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, they will be like, what? Of course I will, and I can. So it shouldn't hold you back. Scoliosis should never hold you back. Now, are some of these poses, are they productive? Should you be doing them every single day? No, probably not. So headstand is not in my yoga for scoliosis program, right? This is not one of the poses that I would consider therapeutic for scoliosis. It's not something that I would say, do this every day, and it's going to really help you with scoliosis. No, but it's a pose that you can practice with scoliosis. You might just have to kind of modify a little bit what you're doing and how you're practicing. So this is kind of something that I'm hoping to give you today, that it's not so much about what you practice, but it's about how you practice. And we've talked about headstands, we've talked about handstands already. Let's talk a little bit about shoulder stand and plow pose, halasana. So shoulder stand, candle pose. Sometimes there are different shavangasana, there's different names for this. Halasana is when you are from a shoulder stand and bring your legs all the way down towards the floor. So this is a flexion in the upper body and quite a severe or quite a big amount of flexion. And this is only for those people who are practicing it already at the moment. Everyone else, don't worry, right? You do not have to add this into your practice if it's not already. Some people really enjoy it because, again, this is one of the poses that are quite calming, that kind of bring the energy down, bring the breath down, and they really like the feeling in these poses. However, you will have a lot of pressure onto your shoulders now. So headstands, everything was on your head, so the neck would be a problem. For shoulder stand, still the neck, but your head is kind of in this position, but upside down. So all the pressure will be kind of here. So if you are not in a supported position here and you're not practicing it with a few blankets or blocks or something like that, so look up supported shoulder stand if you are wanting to have a little bit more visual. Then this could cause problems. Again, it's unfortunately, again, our thoracic curvatures that are going to be more affected. And thinking about this, we talked about the sideward bend with rotation. when you go into flexion, so rounding of the spine, the trunk will be in maximum amount of rotation. This is why we do the Adams forward bend test, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard about or have when you've been diagnosed with scoliosis. They will have you bending forwards to see the rotation in the spine. Now, obviously, any yoga poses where you go into flexion, bending forwards, this will come out more. So again, these are the ones that you want to approach with a little bit more caution. And you might have to think about what can you do to adjust this a little bit more if you really want to practice this. Shoulder stand is not on my list again of yoga for scoliosis poses, but it's a yoga with scoliosis pose that obviously if you want to practice it, do, but think about how you're practicing it. Good. There's another question here. What's your opinion on cracking, popping the back? I've had different opinions from two MPs. MPs, right? Okay, so it depends. Again, where is it? Where's the cracking and popping? Are you doing it on purpose? Then probably not a good idea. If it sometimes happens, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And chiropractors obviously do the intentional cracking of some places in the joints. When it does become a problem when we always do it in the same spot and if it's always happening. So a lot of times what I have found, medical practitioner is MP. Okay, thank you. Yes. So if you do it intentionally, if it's always happening in the same place, it might mean that the joint is lacking a little bit of stability and maybe the muscles around it need to strengthen a little bit more. And so you're saying I do it on purpose because I feel release on my neck. Okay. So again, it's probably not something that would be recommended. And I have spoken to chiropractors about this and they always say to, if it's in the neck, I would stay away from it. I wouldn't do it intentionally. And you might want to think about, oh, back. Okay. Not the neck. Okay. In the back. Right. Okay. In the back. Sorry. Got it. So in the neck, I wouldn't do it. If it's in the back, possibly. But again, if it's always in the same place, I would try to find out why it's happening and why things get stuck there. Yes, I would investigate a little bit further and ask some people who work with this sort of thing, like chiropractors, right? I think they should be able to tell you, give you the answer of if this is a good idea for you or not. Okay, so it's a little bit more on that. The one from physical therapy said, as long as it feels better for my back, then it's good. The one from pain management said it affects the spine and it might make it worse. Interesting, right? Different perspectives, different opinions. So sorry, I cannot really tell you more than what they probably have said already, and they have obviously seen you and could give you a little bit more advice. But this, again, it tells you there's lots of different opinions out there. You kind of have to navigate this jungle and find things that obviously that work for you. And sometimes, okay, in the short term, yes, it might feel better. In the long term, might not be so good for you. But if it doesn't cause you any problems right now, if it does feel like a release, if it feels better, then I wouldn't worry about it too much. Good, lovely. So let me know, guys, if there is anything else you wanted me to cover on those yoga inversions. So I've talked about the main ones, I hope. So the handstand, the headstand, the shoulder stand, halasana. We've talked about some other alternatives as well, if these are not accessible for you. Again, if they are not already in your practice, don't worry so much. right? You do not have to be able to do a headstand to be a happy person. There are plenty of other yoga poses that you can practice. And yes, I hope that this was helpful. Make sure to, if you are listening on your podcast app, please, please, please do leave me a review. That would be amazing. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can leave me a comment. You can tell me if you've got, if there are any more questions, if you're watching this later on and you're not here live. Next week, don't go just yet. Next week, I've got the amazing Elise Browning Miller here, the queen of yoga for scoliosis. So make sure that you tune in, if you can, tune in live on YouTube on the live stream at 4 p.m. GMT. So I believe that is 11 a.m. Eastern time. I think it's 9 a.m. she said for her, which is Pacific time. So yes, make sure to tune in for that. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. She's got so much knowledge. And I will be asking her all about her practice and her approach to yoga for scoliosis. Okay, so thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.